Hello, I'd like to welcome everybody to the third shiur in the Sha'arei Tshuva, the Gates of Repentance, of Rabbeinu Yonah Gurundi. If you go to www.teachitome.com, you will find the text that we are dealing with today. We are going to begin on the 12th chapter in the first shiur, in the first gate, beginning with the third principle, Hayagon, sorrow. Kama rabba ra'at mi shihimra et yotro v'yagdil yagon bilvavo. How evil is the one that rebels against his creator? He should magnify sorrow upon his heart. How amazing is it that we should have an existence at all? We that are basar v'dam, flesh and blood, we in our very physical existences are something separate, something lowly, something that gives us what we sometimes believe is to our benefit, an independence from our Creator. But this independence, this separation, this is in fact what about us is most low. HaKadosh Baruch Hu fills the world, surrounds the world. In all truth, Ein od milvado, there is nothing but Him. Yet nevertheless, we walk and breathe and talk as individuals with an apparent separation from the Creator. Something which appears to be a stira, appears to be a contradiction to the all-encompassing Creator. That is in fact our problem. We as the Jewish people have to live our entire life to demonstrate the fact that we are possessors of divine souls, possessors of an element of godliness directly connected to our creators. We have to demonstrate through our fulfillment of God's will how we are part and parcel of God's plan, how we are the means for His will to come to a revealed state. It's our job to demonstrate the unity of Hashem through our subservience and bitul, nullification, to His will. As such, if we, God forbid, go against His will, if we don't make for ourselves that we are a keli, that we are a means and a utensil for the revelation of God's will, then we are rebelling against the very desire that put us here in this world. What sorrow, what sighs should come from such a person, as he is an embodiment and demonstration of pirud, of separation from God. To think, to feel, and to experience even for a moment that we should be something which is contradictory to our Creator, something which is despised, should be something that should throw us into a state of yagon, of sorrow, of unfathomable depths. V'yoter me'emar, oy, shi'itztaer, V'yanach mi shimra et Hashem yibarach v'yishchit v'hit'iv alila lefanav v'lezachar yotzro asher baro yeshmaim. Even further, a person should grieve and sigh that he is rebelled against Hashem, blessed be He, and was corrupt and loathsome before Him. It did not remember the One who formed him. Who created him something from nothing. The chesed asaimo, and the kindness that He showed him. V'yado tancheu becholet, and that every moment His hand supported him. V'notzer nasho becholrega, v'ech malo libo lahachis lefanav. Here He protected him at every moment. How could it be that he should be so self-centered to exhibit spite before Him? Meaning that even if we couldn't comprehend and conceive of the lofty purpose that each and every one of us has in this world, and how important it is to be a fulfillment of that, at the very least, a matter of hakarat hatov, a matter of thanks, at the very least, a recognition of the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu watches us day and night. How many times in a person's life can he think back and see that what? That Hashem had saved and helped him. How many times has he been through experiences that if not for the clear hand of God's involvement, he would not have survived? How often in our lives can we look back and see that as children, the true miracles that fall after fall, we stood up and walked away? I don't think there is a person in this world who cannot see the miraculous fact of his existence. That if left truly to the elements, the soft skin and poorly muscular, no protection, who are we? In the real world of everything, man is very weak and brittle. Being so, realize the true and great miracle that Hashem should allow us to exist and protects us from the elements. I think a little contemplation, and we can also thank God that He protects us from ourselves. ומדרגות התשובה ומעלותיה לפי גודל המרירות ועוצם היגון. Now in the 13th chapter. The levels of repentance and their degrees are according to the greatness of the bitterness and intenseness of the sorrow. When we turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and we say sorry, how deep is that sorry coming from? Where is it coming from? The greater the bitterness, the greater the sorrow, the greater the sign of the depth of one's repentance. How so? The more a person understands the greatness of his Creator, the loftiness of this being that put him into the world, how small and insignificant he is within the big picture. When he recognizes his true place and recognizes how HaKadosh Baruch Hu has watched over him and guarded him, the more he internalizes and feels this, the more his awe of heaven is, the greater the sorrow will be produced from this. There is a general principle of conservation within the universe that we exist. We see this expressed in the formula of E equals MC squared, that there is a set amount of energy that exists in the world that can convert between the physical and the state of matter, which is energy. And there's this conservation of matter and energy that exists within the full scope of the universe. One's deeds have an effect in the universe. If a person is to rebel against his Creator due to him, it's tremendous punishment. Due to him is tremendous agony for what he's done wrong. Reality is, though, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is compassionate and kind and long to anger, and he's given us the tools and the ability to offset what we've thrown unbalanced through our return to him, through our bringing back things into order. The word tikkun is Aramaic for order. When we say that we're trying to bring about a tikkun for ourselves, a tikkun for the world, for the olam, we are trying to order things in their proper fashion. We're trying to bring things into an order where God's will is greatest revealed. So it is then that with sin it should be that there should exist a tremendous repercussion, of course in line with our level of rebellion. Yagon, sorrow, is part and parcel of that balance. The more sorrow, the deeper the sorrow that is felt, the more of an offset exists to this balance. The more that we place back in order what should be. And so it is that the more intense, the greater the degree of tshuva, of return. One might think then, being that we are dealing with this idea of conservation of all of these energies, in this case in the spiritual plane, that one's physical troubles should also fit into the picture. And in fact, so it is. One's troubles bring a person merit. They are a means to offset that which he has done improperly. There's a story of a certain man whose life in his eyes was always miserable. Miserable wife, miserable children, miserable job, miserable this, miserable that. Never felt that he received his due. But yet nevertheless he was a kind man. One evening, he lay down to sleep. And in the court he found himself standing in the Beit Din Shalmala. Judgment. Their judgment was to be pronounced against him. The scales of his life were taken out. His adversary first took the stand and invited all of his sins of his entire lifetime to come forth. One after another, the sins poured into the room, filling the side of his sins, the side of judgment against him. He watched as one after another they filled and filled and filled that kaf chova, that side of obligation. This weighed on him tremendously as he watched and wearied and realized that his sins had a true effect in the universe and they were about to bear down upon him. When things came to a stand, came for him his representative, who would present all of his good deeds, and he called them in one after another, and his good deeds came, and they filled the kaf sechut, it filled the measure for his merit. And he saw slowly but surely how his merit was beginning to outweigh his sins. But abruptly, things came to a stop, and he saw that his merit did not complete the transition to the side of merit. He began to weep. Then his representative called in his troubles, one after another, the troubles with his wife, the troubles with his children, the troubles with his job, the troubles with his health, the troubles with his entire existence. And clearly and easily he merited at that moment to be on the side of merit. He realized then, on his waking, that his troubles were there for him as his merit. But understand, even his troubles existed as part of this balance. And so it is that through Yagon, through sorrow, through the internal psychological and spiritual sighing that a person does, he offsets his sins. He pays his debt. And so it is that one's sorrows are so much more valuable as a payment than his physical troubles, that a person should accustom himself at all times to recognize how far away he has come because of his sins, and to be in a state of sorrow by way of that. Rabbeinu Yonah gives us a mashal in this particular chapter, that of a king. Who is it that is closest to the king? Those that stand within his castle. Those that are his advisors, their pleas, their requests are seen first. Their suffering is seen first. Their sins too are seen first. But being that the soul is there in the castle, it only makes sense for us to use that closer relationship that exists between the soul and God in order to effect a deeper and more meaningful tshuva, a more meaningful repentance. the next chapter, 14, Rabbeinu Yona says, Va'amar echad min hamitnapelim b'chin erko. One of these supplicants formulated a beautiful statement. Anchati mipachdecha hachek mimeni ha'anachot. My sighs are from fear of you. Distance sighs from me. Meaning to say, Hashem, God, take from me the need to be sighing. Do not allow to be within me anything that stands against your will. Do not bring me to the point where I must force upon myself sorrows. Help me to protect myself against sin. Dagati mikotzer yadi ba'avodatcha. Harchek mimeni hadeagot. My worries are from my inadequacies. Distance worries from me. All my worries, all my concerns that I will not be able to achieve, that I will not be able to accomplish in this world, this is clearly only from my inadequacies, from where I lack to be able to fulfill your will, God. Distance from me worries. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, help me to improve myself and to make me the means of revelation of your will, that I should not worry, that I can walk with trust in your service. Chapter 15. We now begin the fourth principle, Ha'ikar Harvi'i. Hatzar b'maaseh, expressions of sorrow. Halev v'hainayim shnei sasurei hachet. The heart and the eyes are the agents of sin. It is well known that the eyes see, the heart desires, and the hands carry out the sin. If a person protects himself from the sight of that which he desires, he protects himself from developing a lust for it, and so he doesn't come to do it. As such, the heart and the eyes are part and party to that which we do in this physical world. And as such, they also must be part and party to our return to God. They also require their tikkun. They also require that things be ordered and be in the right direction, to be vehicles, to be the agents of you fulfilling and revealing God's will in the world. Lachen, bezot yichupar avon asar surim b'midat shuvatam keneged midat meshuvatam. And so it is that the atonement for these agents is according to their mischief. Ki itchaper avon levav ha'ataim b'mirutam v'anhotam b'shever asher hem shovrim oto. The heart is atoned for sins with bitterness and sighing over them, breaking the heart in the way that his sins broke it. And so it is that the agent of desire must have a tikkun, a reordering through sighing and the breaking of one's heart, the breaking of one's desires, a deep realization and sorrow over what has occurred. Va'avon ha'enayim yichupar litma'ot. And the eyes, those eyes that see and have seen, tears are their rectification. For as he filled his eyes with visions of impurity, now he must eject from within, eject out from within all of his pain and sorrow. And so it is that the tears themselves contain within them the very chemicals and imbalances that exist within the blood and the body of man. As is well known, the crying of tears, this part of tshuva that it removes from the body the chemicals of depression, it removes from the body the breaking of the heart and completes the process. This process began, as we saw, in the mental, in the side of man that is his machshava, that is his mind. It is the sorrows of realizations of his deeds. It is the breaking his heart's that is in his ruach, that is in his emotional side, and it is his expressions of physical tears that have drawn him through the spiritual, the mental, the emotional, and into the physical, have brought together his entire existence in repentance and return to God. The 16th chapter, and now beginning the fifth principle, Hadeaga, worries. Ki idag vayivchad me'onesh avonotav, ki yesh avonot she'atshuva tola chaparatam v'yisurim. He must worry and be scared from the punishments of his sins, for there are sins that repentance suspends and suffering purges. And so it is that with all of his sorrows he may still be left with a debt to pay, he may still be in a position to have to bear that which he owes for his rebellious deeds. V'inyan haygon al she'avar, v'inyan hadeaga al ha'atid. Sorrow is on the past, and worry is on the future. a person has sorrow for what he has done, and he has worry and concern as to what may be as a result of all which he has done. ולא ישלים חוקו את כל אונותו ובאשר יבכה בצום נפשו. Perhaps he has not completed the amount due for his sin with the suffering, the cries and fasts for his soul. ומי שהתבונן בגודל עבודת הבורא על יצוריו, and if one contemplates the greatness of the work of the Creator for his creations, וכיין קץ לרעת הממרא את פיו, and the infinite evil of one who rebels against his words, כל אשר יוסיף בעבודה ובדרכי התשובה, הלא מצרי והנה למעט בעיניו, all of the work and paths of repentance will be insignificant and as small in his own eyes. Meaning to say that if a person contemplates all that which he does in relationship with all that God has done for him, he will realize that no matter how much sorrow he has brought upon himself, it still is nothing. וכסיל מתאבר ובוטח. We learn that the fool, he causes anger in the world, in the universe, and he still walks about confident. Amar al midat hakisil shi behefech mi midat hachacham. The fool, he has the traits and character the opposite of the wise man. Kiyachsil mitaber v'im kol zot boteach. The fool angers, and nevertheless he is confident. Shelo yikrei avon v'nezek. That nothing will occur that will be a problem. That he won't come to sin again, everything will be fine. There'll never be any damages, everything's okay. This person who is angry and angers, who is full of himself, because we know that ka'as, that anger is the expression of one's self-centeredness and one's belief in being a separate being from his Creator to do as he sees fit in the Creator's world. This person who is so self-centered and displays his anger and possesses an anger and frustration because he believes that his will should be the will in the world, and it is not and does not happen, and as such he festers from within and expresses anger. That person, alul lefeshaim, he's prone to sin, mufkar linzakim, and he's given over to injury. It's only the one who recognizes his true place in the world, how truly far he really is from God. That is truly going to be able to feel this proper sorrow and have the proper amount of worry for the future. Chapter 17. The penitent must be worried that his desires will overtake him. In Pirkei Avot, we learn that a person should never trust himself until the day he dies. A person should never say, "No, I'll be able to handle the situation. Everything will be okay. There's nothing to be concerned about." Kol Shechen, all the more so, Ha'ish Asher, Nitzcho Yitzro Kfar. All the more so for this person whose Yetzirah has already overcome him once. He cannot be so haughty as to believe that he will be able to win in the battles against his Yetzirah without developing and bringing upon himself awesome senses of awe. But such is the case that he can never in his lifetime trust himself not to sin, as he has, and as very well could again. Hatzadikim mefarim umechabdim bnei adam al kol ma'ala tova hanimset behem. The righteous, they spend their time praising and honoring man on all the positive that he has. Urshaim mechapisim mume bnei adam ushkiotam lahashpilam. But people that are evil, they seek out in man all of his flaws, all of his mistakes, to topple him. Even if a man has already returned, has already repented, nevertheless, he still runs after those flaws that once existed in that person. Ki af al pi she'en leval tshuva legalot avonotav levnei adam. See, a person shouldn't be revealing his sins to others in this world. Should be embarrassed by them. This shouldn't be something that he wants to wear on his shoulder, something that people should know. If a person in his lifetime, if he has eaten foods that are abhorrent to his Creator, should he be jesting about how flavorful they were for him? Should he be expressing all that which he did wrong with a relish in its memory? Aval hayav litvadot alehem, but still a person must admit his sins before God. He must speak to his Creator and ask him for forgiveness for his sins, each and every one. And so it is, the God who is righteous will find in him his good, will judge him favorably, will see into his heart of hearts his desire to return, and will assist him and lift him. Man, though, who hears of one's sins, who is not roi, who is not proper, that side of man which is desirous and lustful, may very much latch on to those sins which he is looking to reveal, and may be overcome by his own desire and judge him in favorable, and not look and see within him his good and pray after him for his flaws and drag him down. Therefore, it is extremely important that a person choose carefully who his advisors are, that he choose for himself a proper Rav, a proper student of the Torah and an embodiment of its ideals, and to that person alone to reveal his innermost thoughts and his sins, in order so that that person, who he knows will judge him favorably, will assist him and give him the etzot, the advice that he needs to help him move forward. It's imperative that a person choose his friends wisely, but all the more so when we're dealing with the very underpinnings of one's life, his attachment to God. Holiness, kedusha, spirituality, ruchniut, these are not matters for deliberation, not matters to philosophize opinions, but to run and to discover and to find its truths within that expression of God's will that has been handed to us in the Torah and that has been expounded upon and drawn to us by the wise men, the Chachamim, who have trained and learned and received its traditions one from the other until Har Sinai, until the Mount of Zion, were there. There they were, the students of the ultimate teacher, Moshe Rabbeinu. Pa'amim sha'mechaseh v'sha'av lo yatzliach. It should be known that there are times when a person seeks to sin and to hide his sins, that he's not successful in doing so. K'mo ba'avirot she'ben adam le'chevero, such as when a person sins with another or amongst others. Ki ein lo chapara ad asher yashiv agzela ve'hamas ve'oshek, until he has returned that which he has taken improperly, there is for him no repentance. Va'ad asher yivakesh mihila ma'asher hatzik lo, until he has asked forgiveness, till he has asked the compassion of the one who he violated, for him there is no return. O Hilbin Panav, or the one whom he had embarrassed, O Siper Alav Lashonara, or for the one whom he has spoken about with the intent of bringing about damages to him. These matters between one man and another. These pollute the world and the universe that we live in. For as we've already seen and talked about, God always looks and sees and deals with us righteously when we seek Him out. But when we act without faith between each other, we awaken within each other that side of desire that's in us for that which is wrong. Care must always be taken to be faithful in everything we do with each other. If we wrong another, not only are we causing him damages, but we are causing him to have an inclination to look at us without favorable eyes. We are causing him to not be like his Creator. True, there are those righteous out there that may accomplish the lofty task of overcoming this vision of negativity. But nevertheless, we cannot place a mikshol, we cannot place a stumbling block before others. Oh, be'averot she'ben adam l'makom she'nitfasmu livnei adam. And so it is that the sins that we do against the Creator, that when they are done in the public, when they are done before others, these sins are not hidden and they are in the public eye and they are prey to this negative judgment from all those that have seen what has been done. He not only has sinned against his Creator, but he has sinned against his fellow man by having drawn him into a vision and a sight of a masking of God's revelation. Ki ose averot b'farhesia mechalot Hashem. A person who does sins in public, this person is mechalel. He degrades the name of God in public. And so it is. He, that being, that star, that contains a godly soul, a representative of God's will on earth, by rebelling, has allowed others to point at him and say, there, the representative of God. Man, look at him. What kind of Creator made him? He has brought a distorted vision of God's will into the world. V'chayev litonen ulitaber aleihem lifnei bnei adam lekadesh et Hashem. He needs then to mourn over that which he has done wrong in the public eye, and to sanctify God's will by showing, I may have gone off track, I may have done what is wrong, but my Creator is just and he is merciful, as he left me alive to return to him. See, I am repenting. See, I am returning to my Creator. His will is perfect. I made that distortion. And then, and as such, then he brings about true repentance. Chapter 19, Yutet. Yisodot ha-tshuva shlosha, there are three foundations of repentance. Achrata, regret. Vidui, admitting his sins before God. Va'zivat ha-chet, an abandonment of sin. V'havidui, the admittance of sin is part of regret. Ve'en tshuva pechuta mishlosh ha'ele, but without these three, there is no repentance. Ka'amit charet omit vadeh ve'en ozev achet, because if a person is to regret what he's done and to admit his sin, but he has not abandoned his sin. It is like a person who dips in the mikvah, in the bath of purification, holding on to a sheretz, holding on to an impure animal, that as long as he's holding on to this animal, no matter how many times he dips into the water, he still remains in his impurity. Chapter 20. Gam yifchad ulai yitchadesh alav yitzro v'yishamer mimenu b'cholet. And so he should be afraid, he should tremble, perhaps renewed upon him will come his desire, and he must protect himself at all times. V'yosif yirat Hashem b'nafsho tamid, he must constantly increase within him his awe of the heavens, l'itpalel tamid el Hashem lo'ozro el ha'tshuva l'hatzilo mi'yitzro, and he must always pray to God that he will assist him to repent and to return, and that God will save his soul. U'makash elibo yipol b'ra, and one who hardens his heart, he will fall. Ha'omer b'libo, someone who says in his heart, Kvar ishlamti chok tshuvati, I've already done my repentance. Ve'enenu mishtadel tamid la'asig madrigot ha'tshuva lo'si b'nafsho yira, one who does not constantly work to achieve higher and deeper levels of return to his Creator, and to increase upon himself the awe of heaven, Yanesh alzeh, he'll be punished for this. He does not realize in his hardiness what his real value is in the universe. And he doesn't understand his obligation to purify his ways to the absolute most pure sense possible before God. And so it is, he is not constantly protecting against himself against his desires that wait to prey upon him always. And so he will fall in the hands of his desires. So it should be that we all return to our Creator, that we all work our lives to fulfill our obligation for any little bit of rebellion that we have done, and we always stand before our Creators with confidence that we can admit our sins, and that if we are making that effort to return to God, that He will see within us the righteousness of our attempt, and He will assist us to return to Him wholly and completely, we each and every one of us, and all of us together, to see Mashiach Tidkenu b'mehrah bimeinu. Amen.